As our brother stands before us tonight, I know he feels the great burden of this of his calling and the responsibility of standing before you tonight. And I pray that you'd give him your prayers and your smiles, and that he would be able to deliver the message that the Lord has placed upon his heart. And I ask that you would give your careful and prayerful attention to our brother Andrew Brown.
Thank you, Bob. Good evening. As usual, I procrastinated my day of preaching, and so we'll see how it goes. I have a couple thoughts that have been on my mind. Started out one way and changed at the end. I'd like to talk about fighting the good fight and about how we're soldiers of Christ. And my mind was reminded of the song, Sound the Battle Cry, and I didn't have time to look it up before I came. But that's kind of like what I want to talk about tonight, is how we are the soldiers of Christ and that we have a calling. And I'd like to start out in 1 Timothy. It's going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll be reading the 11th through 14th verses. Let's see. May have made a grave tactical error. I think it's chapter 5. Let's see. Chapter 5. No, it's not chapter 5 either. It's chapter 6? Verse 12. That's why. Okay, starting in verse 11. It says, thank you. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, before Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession, that thou keepest his commandments without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is kind of my text, I guess you would say, for the sermon. And my thoughts on these verses would be fighting the good fight, strive after eternal life. That's one of our goals, is to strive after eternal life. My point is it's being difficult. It's going to be difficult to do this. If it wasn't difficult, he wouldn't have said, go fight the good fight. He would have said, go live the good life or the easy life. I also have the definition of fight. I thought that would be helpful. It's a word we probably all think we know the meaning of, but I always try to do this and to get a great understanding. And in Webster's, it defines fight as to struggle against in any manner, to carry on or engage in a battle, to make one's way by struggling, to struggle in any manner, to in conflict or struggle between adversaries, an effort to obtain an object in spite of opposition. That last one, an effort to attain an object in spite of opposition, is probably what I want to talk about. It's difficult, the thing that the Lord has called us to do, to be in this world, but not to be of this world. I think I'm going to go to verse 13 and read it again. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And it says God is sending us out. He's given us a charge, a mission to go do, something to, he's given us a mission. That's probably the best word for it. And in verse 14, my thoughts were, the first order he gives us is to go out and to keep his commandments. I think that's one of his first basic orders, just to do his will. And that always includes you must be baptized and all that. But and the thing is to endure to the end until the return of Christ. I'm going to talk about our personal fight a little bit. I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 2. If I can find Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Okay. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. One thing that we have to do first to be a good soldier of the Lord is to work out our own salvation between God. Verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both in will and to do his good pleasure. By doing this, then he can use you where he needs you, not just what you want to do, but you work out your salvation, you make it right with him, and then he can use you how he wants you to be used. Verse 14 says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. It says that all things without murmuring. Sometimes I think that it's hard for us to do this. We know God's will, but we think, oh, that's going to be difficult or hard to do. But it says here to do all things without murmuring. And that's another part, another aspect of being a good soldier. We must remember that our commander, God, has our best interest in mind. And that if we submit our will to his, he will be able to use us. And that's part of working out his salvation. Verse 15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of crooked and perverse nations, among whom you shine as a light in the world. And I like this verse. It's talking about going out into the world and being different, because we're definitely called to be different and not be conforming to the world. Go out with the world with our armor on. Later on, I'm going to read through the armor of God, which is another aspect, is another thing that the Lord gives us in this fight. Verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in that day of Christ, that I have not run vain, neither labored in vain. And it says, to hold on to the word of God and the gospel, and to bring it forth. That's another commission that we have as a soldier, is to not only have this with ourselves, but to take it forth into the world. I'd like to turn to Mormon, in the Book of Mormon, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 91 through 94. And it says, in verse 91 of Mormon, chapter 4, behold, all ye that are despisers of works of the Lord, for ye shall wonder and perish. O then despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye shall stand in need. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it upon your lust. but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye may serve the true and living God. Excuse me. I think my point in putting this in here is kind of key. It's coming unto the Lord with all your heart. It's a similar verse to the one I read earlier, but I like using the Book of Mormon and its clarity. It's coming unto the Lord with all your heart, working out your salvation with Him. Also, it says, ask not that you may not consume it upon your lust, but in faith, believing, and steadfastly, and also that you may not be tempted. That's another thing. When we go out to battle in the world, we know, against the adversary, we need to be prepared and praying to the Lord that we may not be tempted. A lot of times, I know in my personal life, I feel almost, it's weird, I feel almost guilty or something for praying for myself. I figure other people's needs far outweigh mine. I think that's the wrong way of thinking. We need to keep in mind that we need to pray for ourselves and for our salvation, and the Lord will continually keep us strong and steadfast. I think that's definitely a key point. And being a soldier is being prepared. I'd like to, let's see. I'd like to talk about verse 94. It says something like, be mindful of the time that you have, always striving to walk to, excuse me, always striving to walk a closer walk with the Lord. Ask not that you may consume it upon your lust, and but in faith, believing steadfastly that ye would not be tempted. A soldier has to keep these things in mind. He needs to secure his walk with the Lord and be strong and reinforced, to strip himself of all uncleanness, and to remember to pray for strength. Those are some key elements right there that I believe. Also, so as to be strong when you are in the midst of temptation or a battle. And I know this week, last couple weeks, it's been hard for me. A lot on my mind, a lot on my plate. It's been hard to prepare for this sermon. It's been a difficult sermon to prepare for. I usually don't have this hard a time. Sometimes it comes easy. But like I said earlier, I had something in mind and completely changed. So I don't know. I don't feel completely on track. But I feel like this is what I need to bring tonight. Like I was saying, this is a hard week for me. I'm getting ready to go to Africa and preparing. And so I definitely need an interest in your prayers. The next thing I'd like to talk about would be in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, I think I'm going to read. It's a simple, quick verse, but it kind of delivers what I'm trying to make, the point I'm trying to make. It says in verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. That's another thing we need to always be at watch, on our guard. Not only for prophets in sheep's clothing, but for little things that creep into our lives that are unrighteous, that we need to watch out for. We need to always keep our guard up, because we know our enemy, the adversary, is bold and he is strong. That's kind of the next point I want to make here in a minute. Let's go to Matthew, just a couple pages over, Matthew chapter 10. Verse 16. Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. This is some, in the words of Christ, some advice, some command that he's given us. Sending this out into the world, and that we go prepared and we go wise with prudence and not half-cocked. And that we don't go out like, you know, as we think of warriors and soldiers, they're always strong and mean and tough and all that. But we go out like a dove, and we know the dove is peaceful and serene and kind, And that's kind of the image that's brought to your mind. Serpents, I think, in the Bible times were considered wise and wily, like that. Not necessarily wily, but smart. And I think that that's what he's also saying. Go out prepared, but go out harmless as a dove. Let's see. As I said earlier, our enemy is bold, and we should be just as bold. Not a lot of times I think we're too meek or too, I don't know what the exact word is, but we don't realize the power of the adversary. But the thing is that's my next point. The adversary is strong, but God is stronger. Let's turn to Psalms. Psalms 18. I love the Psalms because there's a lot of things in there that are addressed and can find all kinds of good advice. Psalms 18. I'm going to start in verse 2. It says in verse 2 of Psalms 18, Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and my horn of salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. It says here, it's a psalm, it's David talking about him being delivered from his enemies. This most of this chapter is talking about all these things that he narrowly escaped, and fire and arrows and all this. And then I'd like to turn or go to verse 17. And this is after David's been in much distress. In verse 17 it says, He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, and they were too strong for me. They perverted me in the days of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because of He delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. My point here is, yeah, the adversary is strong, but the Lord is stronger. And He has promised to those that are righteous and whose hands are clean that He will come to their aid in times of need. Let's see here. Next thing I'd like to address is the armor of God. Something the Lord has given us, tools to fight against the adversary and the world. And it's found in Ephesians. I'd like to turn there. Each piece of the armor holds a separate strength that the Lord has given to us. It's in Ephesians 6. Starting in verse 10. It says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Excuse me. Every time I get up here, my throat gets really dry. Plus, I'm wearing a noose or something, so can't hardly breathe either. Anyway, it says in verse 11, Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For he wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all this, all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's your first offense. Your first defense is a breastplate of righteousness that the Lord has given unto us, and it's the truth. And we know the truth is found in the Word of God, partially. In verse 14 it says, 15 it says, And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Also, two important pieces of the armor. Thank you, Haley. I won't be up here too much longer, but thanks. two very important pieces of the armor. Your feet, shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, and the shield to quench the fiery darts of the adversary. Definitely another good offense. 17, it says, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, the truth is in the word of God, and it's also the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And it says that's your good defense is the sword of the Spirit. You can use it for the confounding of false doctrine. You can turn to it when you have troubles in your life. It addresses everything that you'll come to in your life. It says in 18, praying always with all the power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Saying, I think, that prayer is also a key element. It fills in the different cracks in the armor, different places where the armor come together. And definitely to do this is definitely also a good thing to remember, is to do all this with prayer. I'd like to go to 2 Timothy. Again. That's what I felt the Lord has put upon my heart tonight about being a good soldier and standing bold because our enemy is bold and not giving up ground, about putting on the armor of God with all diligence and prayer. I'd like to read this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I think this is our goal. A goal to, at the end of life, we can say, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have been a good soldier for the Lord. That's what I want to bring before you tonight and think about, is to not give up and to keep these things in mind. Because I know that we go through trials and temptations. I have a hard time with it myself. And I think this is what the Lord has placed upon my heart. Thank you.